and put
Recording in
these dollars to
progress.
work and really update some of the infrastructure needs that we have within our parks. Next slide, please. So where are we at today? With our division, we were constantly working on these things, both prior to, during, and we will into the future on these infrastructure needs. And sometimes they're maybe not always the sexiest projects and easy ones to identify, because a lot of this stuff is underground and it's hard to see the wear and tear. But we do know that things age and need to be replaced accordingly. And so, in our annual capital development budget, it would be very normal to see a handful of projects that kind of were address these issues over time. And so what this funding really did was allowed us an opportunity to kind of displace those funds that we would normally have in our capital development budget with these federal funds. And the couple of caveats that go with it are we're going to be required to kind of have everything run through the Department of Office of State Engineering. And so what we've done is worked out with that office project names and codes, and working with the Bureau of Finance and Management, whom is going to be responsible for paying all of the bills for these projects. There's just a lot of coordination that really has to go on to make sure that everything is run fluid, and that we meet all of the requirements and reporting data that the federal government has kind of attached to these funds. And so, just to kind of wrap up real quickly, this really is a great benefit for our department that is addressing some things that we would normally address in any given year. And it will really provide us the opportunity to be able to use some of those funds that we would have normally dedicated in our capital development budget to get these things done, and then be able to do other things with the money that's kind of left over. A couple of the other caveats here with this funding, when it was passed during the through Congress, they put some requirements on dates to try to get these things finished. And so what that means for us is that, we're looking at trying to get everything under contract prior to the end of the 2024 federal fiscal year, and the funds are also then required to be spent prior to the end of the federal fiscal year in 2026. So with $17 million of projects, a very large amount that we can't do all at one time, it's really nice to see that our agency can kind of come together as a team and work with in collaboration with a lot of these other folks to make sure that we can get some of these things off the ground. And the status of where we're at right now, we have a few of the projects already complete. We've got several of them that are already under contract. We're working with the Office of State Engineering to get the work requests going on some of these larger projects. We've got some projects that will be done in-house, and we're really just working on the finalization of having a little bit more clarity from our state department here on really finding out, the ins and outs of what we need to do. And now I think we're in a good place that we know all that information, and we're in a good place to keep moving forward with these things. And so we'll continue to work with those folks on getting things implemented, and work with our field staff on making sure that we're adhering to all the requirements. And really want to thank all those involved that kind of made this happen. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand by for any questions.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate the great report and time it took to put that together. Anybody have any questions for Adam? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, what projects are you doing? Do you have a list or kind of an overview of what you're doing, and how do you prioritize them to which ones you're doing first?
Yeah, through the chair.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Beast, Chris, yeah, if you can pull up that, yeah, it may be difficult to see, but what I would say in general is when we looked at our 5-year plan for these projects, the eligibility requirements for these funds were specifically for drinking water improvements and sewer improvements. So what does that look like in the park system? Well, we've got drinking water infrastructure, our secondary line infrastructure that feeds off either wells or rural community water services. And so we're looking at maybe updating lines that are maybe aged and replacing valves and those kinds of things, so that we're set up for the future on those kinds of things for drinking water. But a bulk of the things are really sewer related, and so we're talking about drain fields and dump stations and lagoon systems and lift stations that transfer sewer water and those kinds of things. And that really is a bulk of the projects that we're really working on, is really updating that really old infrastructure that we typically would in any given year see problems with just maintaining those systems. But this funding will really be a shot in the arm to get some updates to those kinds of things, and start attacking the big long list of kind of backlogs of those kinds of things that we had in place.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Scott Simpson, again, Director of the Parks Division. Commissioner B said, but just to add on just a little bit to what Adam was saying, when you look at that list up there, there are several of them that are over $1 million. And some of them, I think, maybe even get into the $2 million category. Those bigger ticket items are very tough to swallow in any given capital development cycle that we move through. So I think, we're still trying to understand maybe what these numbers are going to come in at from the contractor standpoint, how close were our estimates to what actual on the ground costs are going to be. But I think our priority should be, and likely will be, picking off those bigger ticket items so that we can incorporate some of those smaller ticket items in those capital development cycles further down the road if the $17 million doesn't go as far as it could. But, you take a $2 million Sylvan Lake sewer project, that's a tough one to fit into a budget someplace. So let's pick that one off and leave the $75,000 drinking water line at Roy Lake or whatever it might be, so that we can do that with just the funds that we have. So I think that's going to help us prioritize a little bit. But again, we've got to kind of get into this process and see what bids look like.
Commissioner Bartley, thank you, Mr. Chair. Scott, when you're doing these projects, how do you foresee doing some of those major projects, such as like Lewis and Clark with the sewer line replacement, without disrupting the camping, the everyday business that you need to do at those parks without losing some folks?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Bartley, that's always kind of the dance that we do. We know that we have a busy summer season, and most of the time construction season overlaps that summer season, whether we're doing road work or whatever it is. We try to limit that as best we can. Sometimes that means, if we're, let's say we're remodeling, this probably isn't really a scenario, but if we're remodeling a comfort station, we might have to direct some people to another facility, right? And it's not convenient, but there's still facilities there to use. So we can do those kinds of things, no different than rerouting traffic, right? So we're always mindful of impacting our customers. There's going to be maybe some inconvenience, but we try to time those things so that we're outside of our busiest seasons. Depending on how long the project might take, is there an alternative that we can use? Is there temporary solutions that we can use? But customers are always at the top of mind with this and how we can minimize those impacts. But just like with any construction project, there likely are going to be some impacts. We'll just try to minimize them.
Go ahead.
Do you foresee a lot of these being able to be done and say, hate to set call in the winter months, but sometimes that's not very favorable for replacing lines.
Right.
Are those things possible?
That I don't know. What we try to do is give our contractors as big a window as possible, right? And we understand that maybe if we can get a certain amount of work done, say in September, which we start to slow down. If we give them September until May 1, where we start to kind of ramp up again, can they complete some of that work in the fall? Whatever they can do over the winter, great. And then, maybe finish it up in the spring before we get open, or again, finish it up at least in those times where we have the least amount of impact. So we try to be fair to our contractors, give them some flexibility, and ultimately that affects their pricing too, if we give them a little bit more opportunity to kind of figure out what works in their schedule.
Any other questions for Director Simpson? If not, thanks, Adam. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the report.